Hi, John.
Hey, Alex.
Do you know what I hate?
What's that?
Zechariah Sitchin.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
Because he leads to Eric Von Daniken.
Ah.
Which leads to Chariots of the Gods, which leads to the Ancient Alien Theory, which leads to Alexander Tsoukalos, which leads to Prometheus.
So it goes all the way back to that guy.
Well, there's just a lot of Ancient Aliens stuff in here.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there is there. But anyway, I didn't want to do the show normal this week. So
sure.
Let's do it like...
Let's do it pantsless.
No, we're going to do... Well, I said, no, we always do it pantsless. This time, we'll leave our underwear on.
Oh.
Well, let's do high school debate style. All right. Mm. So you be Prometheus, I'll be Conmetheus.
Oh, boy. You know, I was going to talk about, I was going to make fun of Joss Whedon. We brought up on the Alien Resurrection show that he was like, pro me, these are more like pro meaningless, but now we don't have a leg to stand on in that.
We do, because I did that on purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we are also not Joss Whedon, so I think that gives us a moral advantage. Watch this. This is just off the dome. All right. Prometheus, more like pro pee pee poo poo. Boom, mic drop. In your face, Weedo.
Crack of the bat.
Yeah.
Out of the park.
Out of the bat. Roar of the grease paint.
All right.
Prometheus.
Conmetheus.
Mm.
Antimetheus.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to find in Pandora Part 2. It's like unobtainium.
Oh, unobtainium. Okay, yeah. I'm on board.
Sorry.
I'm still on the uptake today.
Also, unobtainium popped in my head the other day, and I've just been shoehorning it into everything in my head just because, like... How the fuck did that even...
Well, so here's a fun segue into this, that James Cameron had talked to Ridley Scott about revisiting the Aliens franchise in the long, long ago, and then Alien vs. Predator came out, and Cameron went, never mind. Like, I don't want to be a part of trying to kill the franchise, because that's what this is trying to do.
Yeah.
But apparently some of the ideas that they had Ridley Scott initially used. The script went through a lot of permutations. The first one, was written by this guy, John Spates, if I'm saying that right, S-P-A-H-T-S. And it was really on the nose, this is a prequel to Alien. David, Michael Fassbender's character, was a lot meaner, all this stuff. They kind of saved some of it. But then Ridley Scott brought on Damon Lindelof, the guy from Lost.
Oh, yeah.
The guys of Lost, and who sucks a lot. And more recently, famously, is about ready to fuck up Watchmen, which is exciting.
Well, what else is Lindelof does? Because Lost was really good for a minute.
Lost was good for a minute, but they really lost the plot on that one. Pun, I guess, intended. I did The Leftovers, which is supposed to be good.
I like The Leftovers.
Let's see.
I think
here.
I might disagree with you. I think Damon Lindelof is involved in a lot of shows I enjoy.
Yeah, I just tend not to like Tomorrowland, which wasn't very good. World War Z, which wasn't very good. Star Trek Into Darkness, which might be the worst Star Trek.
Which one was that?
That was the one with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, that wasn't bad.
It was awful.
Really?
Watch it again. It is heinous. Huh. Particularly for the new ones there. It's really bad. Cowboys and Aliens wrote the screenplay for that little gem. But I think some of the problems I have with this movie have a very Lindelof feel to them.
Okay.
But then it's also Ridley Scott wanting to, because Ridley Scott was kind of vacillating on, I want this to be an Alien prequel. No, I don't. No, it's going to be a whole separate thing, but it totally is an Alien prequel.
Yeah.
No, it isn't though. It isn't. So, I don't know. This movie's got a lot of problems.
I really enjoyed it this watching, like a lot more than the first one.
Oh, boy.
Which I remember. Yeah, I don't know what everybody's problem is with this movie. Here's the parts I don't like, and they're few. Wolf Howell geology guy, and his idiot friend, the first two that die.
Well, they're not friends.
We whatever. But yeah. They're friends because they're in the cave together.
Yeah.
But they were dumb and stupid and poorly written.
Yeah, just like every other character.
No, everybody else I was good with.
Oh man, there's so many like. For the first Alien, for that like crew being this tight knit group of people that have like characters and personalities, these were a bunch of assholes that were on the same trip, that no one likes each other, and I'm supposed to like them for some reason, and they make stupid decision after stupid decision, in a way that like this movie is a good argument for like or a good discussion point to be like if your movie's supposed to be like this allegory, what you can get away with, because I think there's so many things here that make you go like strain credulity. It's like why would anyone ever do that? That you're missing the allegorical picture.
Yeah.
Like, I can't spoil. I don't want to spoil that movie. It's too new. But there's a more recent movie that had that same kind of issue where like you kind of when they started explaining what was going on plot wise, you're like, oh, this makes sense as an allegory, but this is real dumb. Just like set to me. So
well, all right. So here's the thing. So I think David is pretty likable. Michael Fassbender is
disagree. Interesting, but not likable.
Oh yeah. I guess I should say that
worth watching.
That's what I mean.
I'll put it that way.
Yeah. No, likable is the wrong term, but I mean as a movie character, mm-hmm. likable. Like, oh, I'm glad this is happening in front of me. I think Noomi Rapace. What's her name? Shaw. Like the lead lady. I think she's interesting. I don't know likable is the right term, but like she's definitely interesting.
There was just nothing there for me.
Elba, totally likable.
Whoa.
Really? Oh, I thought he was charming as shit.
It's Idris Elba. Yeah. So obviously, what's he doing?
I mean, he's being
why did someone let him do that accent? Like that's obviously a sign of Ridley Scott just not caring. Which is my thing with this whole movie is this movie has all these themes like that. That's not really interested in exploring very much. It just seems like Ridley Scott is really not interested in a lot of this stuff.
It's a little plot heavy. I'll give it that. But
well, I don't think I'd agree with that. I don't think there's not much of a plot to speak of. It's pretentious and thinks it's deep, and then it can't be bothered to put in the building blocks of plot to have you give a shit about what's going on or give a shit about anybody on this trip.
Oh yeah, I definitely disagree with that. Like I thought like the only kind of problem was that it was a little bit too beat by beat, like this is the plot that's happening to tell the story instead of like allowing the kind of like I wouldn't mind there being a little more mystery to it, which I just remember people bitching about a lot. And this time watching I'm like, this is really clear and straightforward.
Good. Then you can answer some questions for me.
Maybe this time I just made guesses and just didn't what's unclear?
Anyone's
that sounded,
okay.
That sounded like far more sarcastic.
I
think maybe this time I just kind of went like, I just, instead of going like, oh, there's a choice here. I just went, nope, that's what they're saying.
I tried to, but like, so at the beginning, yeah. So this engineer, whatever, first of all, let's just back up there. This was actually one of the last films H.R. Giger worked on. And they talked to him about some of the designs of some stuff, but, you went from the iconic alien to bodybuilder with black eyes. Whoa, what a crazy alien thing you made. That just felt very lazy and not interesting. The engineer's designs, I didn't like. That's just a personal aesthetic thing, whatever. Yeah. But so this diaper-wearing homunculus at the front kills himself to make life.
Yeah.
Lovely sequence. Beautiful. Liked that idea. Not really explored for the rest of the movie. But that's fine, I guess. But I like that opening thing. And then the motivations for anyone after that, I don't know. They're going to go find this thing. They've managed to get a trillions of dollars ship and expedition to go out based on like, we saw this cave painting and these five circles, kind of look like these five circles. So we better go out there. That makes sense.
Well, it does in that this is like the richest man on the planet and he's trying to find a way towards immortality, so he's grasping at any straws. I mean, we currently have a guy that dug a fucking tunnel under LA because he was bored.
Right.
That will happen at some point when someone has enough money to go like, yeah, of course. They're literally, it's happening right now. They said we're gonna land on the moon because NASA's taking too long. Mm-hmm. I think the issue I have is
everyone in this movie, and maybe this is a theme that I'm just missing, everyone in this movie is terrible at their jobs and dumb. The way the two scientists, Noomi Rapace and the other guy, treat their discovery is kind of at odds with their wanting to do this in the first place.
The other guy I totally agree with. That's the dumb scientist trope. But I sort of forgave it because he got his justice quickly. Like, it's a fair point. Like that guy is just dumb as all hell.
Yeah, he is.
And
that's the dude from the Invitation.
And yeah.
Was the original, the first Shocker in Spider-Man, whatever that was, Homecoming.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering why he had two in the pink and one in the stink.
There it is. I was lobbing it over there.
Completely.
Yeah.
No, he was terrible and terrible at his job. Shaw, I was fine with I think them being excited and trying to find the shit out not forgives, but kind of informs a lot of the dumb decisions they made, like because they were excited and trying to get the shit out. And also, And I think this is the first time I kind of, not the first time, but the thought occurred to me this time watching this is that obviously they don't know they're in a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
They think they're in a spiritual epic.
Mm.
So like, if you think like, oh, I'm in this, like, instead of we're thinking, oh, it's H.R. Giger. This is obviously something horrible's gone wrong here. They're thinking we're gonna find God. There's kind of like, you know, I don't know. I think it kind of forgives a little bit of the idiocy of like, I think I'd be pretty excited too.
Oh, so you take off your helmet?
No, that's that dumb guy. Which, yeah. But he died first, which I'm kind of alright.
Yeah,
with.
But everyone else does take off their helmet.
Well, I mean, he didn't die immediately. So.
Okay, so then it's fine. But it's just stuff like that. Like these little things
that,
throughout.
That annoyed the shit out of me. I have a note there saying like, he's taking off his helmet. This is idiocy. Why? Oh no, now they're all doing it. But also they're archaeologists. What the fuck do they know?
You're on a foreign planet, like completely alien planet. Like, well, the atmosphere seems okay. Cool. Cause like diseases don't exist. Here's a dead body of an alien. This is all fine. This is all fine. It's not like we don't need to worry about that.
Well, I mean, in that the inhabitants have been dead for thousands of years. It's like, you know, when Lord Carnarvon went into Tut's tomb.
Yeah, no, I don't know that.
Oh, he's the guy that went into Tut's tomb.
Thank you. What happened in Tut's tomb?
Well, nothing. He didn't get sick or anything.
Yeah, like, but that's what? That was a human being, not an alien on an alien world.
Yeah, but they've been dead for 2,000 years. Granted, that taking the helmet scene off, dumb as shit. But like, I'm not, it's a lot of the other decision making is more the like, yeah, you're excited. You've literally found God's house. Like, you found the place that, like, the cradle of everything.
I guess. But, I mean, like, there's just, like, when he's landing, it's like, I gotta go right now, even though there's the storm. The person who earlier has had a scene where she's like, I'm pulling the strings, fuck you, is like, doesn't, like, knows it's a complete risk and is dumb, but it's like, yeah, that's fine. Let's just let this happen.
No, them going originally, they didn't want to go because the sun was going down. They didn't know a storm was coming.
Oh, whatever. Like that it wasn't, it wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, no, but it's not.
I understand, but like, this is not the opportune time to go. We're on this planet. What else do we have to do?
Yeah.
Let's just hold back. That's minor. That doesn't matter. A lot of my issues, so why is everyone an asshole? Why is everyone in this movie just an asshole?
I would say that not all of them are, but a lot of them are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I mean, they're also they're purely for money, with the exception of Shaw and her partner.
Right, but they've
which
kept,
her partner I have no answer for. That guy really annoyed me. But I didn't like the actor. Oh yeah, no, I didn't like
sucks.
His dumb face.
Everything
like,
about him sucks.
But he died early, which I think kind of made me feel bad. I'm like, the annoying guy died.
And in just a dumb way.
And they killed the annoying Howley guy early, so I'm like, yeah, good.
I really like that actor, which is a shame.
I just hated him in this.
Yeah, no, he's awful. I mean, Sean Harris is the actor, and he's great in like Southcliffe, Red Riding. Really good in, what's the guy's name? Anyway, like he's usually plays these like coiled rage guys, and that was used to great effect, sort of the reverse of that in Possum, which is a weird horror movie, but I very much recommend.
No, this plays like a Lucha Libre.
Yeah, well, and that's another thing. So like, I'm this geologist, and I don't want to like CinemaSins this thing to death, but like, I'm a geologist. I have these floating arms. They're going to map everything. Well, let's keep going before we have the map. Okay, that's fine. I'm going to run away now and get lost, even though I'm the map-making guy. Okay. He ran away when those like ghost things showed up, that would make more sense than to be like, you know, a dead body. Oh, no. And then when he shows up later, what is that? When like his dead body comes back to attack the crew some reason.
Well, I think that he's trying to infect it. I mean, that's the early form of the virus that is, you know, that weird snake thing. Like that's
Yeah, I don't know. That didn't read as that to me. That just it felt like because some of it feels like it's trying to be a haunted house movie, which is fine.
Yeah,
like because you are going to a haunted house basically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the original Alien. That's what it is.
The original Alien is more of a slasher movie.
Oh, yeah, kind of same concept, though. But, I mean, there was a lot of, like, claustrophobic, you know.
Sure, but I'm just saying that, like, I don't know, all of a sudden this guy who's been dead, like, they've seen his face, like, melted, and then they're like, oh, well, it's Fifield, let's go get him. Why would you do that? Another dumb decision.
No, I don't know if it's, they said his camera is you know, broadcasting from outside. Yeah. What the fuck is that? And again, they don't know they're in a horror movie yet. I don't think that's that.
Multiple people have gone missing or died.
Well, two people have died, and they don't know how. And then they saw the camera. So it's not like, you know, I don't know. I think that's not that big of a. What else are they going to do? Just go, oh, yeah, well, just leave it.
Not have 80 characters, for starters. We could do that.
Okay. Too many characters, too many cooks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You have that in your head for a while. I don't mind him. But wait, let's go back to the asshole things, because now I think about it. Idris Elba, not an asshole.
Benedict Wong.
Thank you.
Yeah, support Benedict Wong forever in whatever he's in.
I'm like Doctor Strange's
that
guy.
Guy's great. Yeah, his decision at the end was dumb, but whatever. We'll get to that.
But that's an accepted Hollywood level of dumb that you can't poke at. Men dying manlyly together because they have to.
No, I get
that's
it.
If we start pointing that out, there's no movies left.
Right.
He's cool. I like Noomi Rapace. I think she's fine. Yeah, everybody else.
There's just nothing to her character. There's nothing to so many of these characters.
Yeah, I don't. Well, no, I was just trying to figure out who's an asshole. The rest of them are kind of assholes.
Fifield is an asshole.
Yeah.
The stupid biologist guy is an asshole.
Well, I don't think he's an asshole. I think he's dumb.
No, he's an asshole because when they're like giving the speech at the beginning and he's like, oh, so you found like this DNA thing. Awesome. The sarcastic thumbs up thing or whatever the fuck he does. He's an asshole. He could have asked that question a number of different ways.
Oh, yeah. I kind of thought the other guy said that. Yeah, okay. So he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Waylon's daughter, she's an asshole.
Yeah, Vickers is an asshole. David's an asshole. I get why David's an asshole, but David's an asshole.
Yeah. I don't know if David's an asshole, though. David's a force of nature. I liked him this time.
I still don't. I
loved him watching Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah, no, that stuff's great. Yeah. And, like, I like him. I like that sequence of him, like, everyone's in cryo sleep. And he's just farting around doing all the stuff.
Riding the bike and doing the basketball shot. Echoes of Sigourney Weaver making that one basketball shot.
Yes, absolutely. The thing that everyone loves from every Alien movie.
The basketball. That's what you show up to Alien. It's the basketball shot. Like,
all right, who's going to dunk this time?
Because when I think of basketball movies, I think of Space Jam, then I think of the Aliens franchise.
But I don't like... Because if this was a standalone, not Alien movie, this like took place in the Alien universe but wasn't trying to directly be involved with Alien, I might not be as... irritated by some
of this
stuff.
Well, that's what I took this as. I did not take this as a prequel to Alien. It is a...
Oh, okay. So you haven't seen Covenant yet.
No, but that happened after this.
No, I understand that happened after this. Because Ridley Scott went, well, this failed because the fans were mad there weren't the Xenomorph wasn't in it. So I added to the second one. That, to me, is not at all why this movie failed. I think because it sort of is, it's hard to not compare David to Lance Henriksen or Ian Holm is Ash, who I liked just infinitely better. Like, Michael Fassbender is amazing and handsome as hell, and it's nice to watch him do anything. But I just, like, his character is so... Because his character's motivations are so hidden in this way that, like... In this bullshit Lost way of, like, obscuring... Or J.J. Abrams, like, obscuring information is the same as giving you information. Mm-hmm. Like, his mystery box thing. Like, not telling you the story... is like telling you the story, where you're not telling a story, you're just delaying a reveal. And I don't necessarily always like that. And I feel like, particularly in the case of Wayland, that reveal was like, what? Same thing with him, like, I'm your daughter. Thematically, okay, I understand some things that sort of tie that together, but that's a very meh, bleh reveal.
Yeah, I didn't care about that enough to actually really respond. I'm like, okay, that could have been there or not, it doesn't matter. But I liked David's... I don't know. I liked the whole thing this time. And maybe it's because I knew what his actions were because I'd seen it before. But like, I really enjoyed it this time of the kind of overly pleasant to everybody's face. But it's like, nope, going to see what this happens. Going to put some goo in your tea.
Yeah. Just watch. Which, I mean, in terms of if his whole goal is to save Waylon.
Well, that's exactly it. Yeah. He's just, I have experiments that I needed that. I got my experiments to the planet. Now there's stuff for me to throw at them.
But, I mean, is he, though? Is that his goal? Because he's also like, I want my parents dead. Doesn't everyone want their parents dead? I don't think they do, David, but that's fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's programmed by Waylon, so I think that feels like the ultimate asshole is... Yeah, that's why I kind of like... I don't know. I like the kind of hierarchical structure of, like, the top asshole just kind of ruining lives underneath him.
Mm-hmm.
The David thing, this time around, like, I liked him as the experimenter. And I also like the kind of, it feels like they know more, and it's never, like, revealed at all, but it feels like Wayland had an idea that there was something like this out there. Like, you know, like, oh, there was, you know, another Sumerian tablet that went like, yeah, these guys, not so nice. Or there's a cutscene where they're like, oh, the big tall gods that live at the Five Stars, total pricks.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know if that is in one of the cutscenes.
Well,
scenes,
like one of the earlier drafts, he was after their terraforming technology, which makes a little bit more sense.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then there was also a cut, I don't think ever even filmed scene where there's references to the engineers or whatever being involved in humankind until an incident or some sort of unpleasantness.
Okay.
Which is what made them turn on us. And in an earlier script, we crucified an engineer.
Yeah.
I'm glad they left that out.
That's a good first draft kind of idea. Yeah. Just like,
Now here's the thing. So I like the idea of meeting God and God doesn't like you or God doesn't care. Like that's some H.P. Lovecraft shit. Like that's the Call of Cthulhu is that the elder gods came here to seed the planet and whatever. We don't really care after that. But like them like being like, no, we're going to turn and punish you. Okay.
Well, so this, I think I got it this time that I didn't get it last time. And maybe I'm reading too much into it. I think I realized this time is that they're not returning. There's no punishment here. What they did was they created a stock race, us, so they could test their weapons. So all they did was they created us and then said, all right, we're going to let them marinate for a while. So there's enough of them. And then come back with this black goo and see what happens when we put it in there.
I mean, that's an interesting read on it. I don't know.
Because that's where they're coming back with all the vases of black goo.
But then why would you bother to help facilitate their growth?
But that's the idea. It's because so now you have a breeding ground. It's like
No, we're talking about two different things. I'm talking about their evolution. Like I'm talking about you being the.
Well, because they're fighting like let's say engineers are in a fight with another race that's also evolved to their level.
Yeah.
You know, just whatever equivalent monkey engineers or reptile engineers, whatever.
Sure.
You know,
okay. yeah.
That. So you need to test your shit on something kind of similar thing. So what they do is they use their genetics, you know, by being a diaper baby.
Right.
And making your genetics explode into the water.
But facilitating mankind. Like, but like we don't make rats learn to read before we like give them cancer.
No, but I don't think it's they made us. They just basically set the wheels in motion. It's kind of like
they 100% made us. I mean, that's the whole opening scene.
No. They didn't make us learn to read and all that shit. Like is the
that's what the whole thing in those cave paintings are. Is them shepherding us. Like there's multiple.
Yeah, no, but I think that's see, I took that as more like the metaphorical them evolving us to the point that they can be, we're viable stock to test their alien goo on.
It's an interesting theory. Yeah. I think it's a reach, but I think it's, I mean, it's certainly an interesting theory.
Why are they coming back? That doesn't like, I think if you take it as truth, that this is a munitions factory that we're having our movie set in, a munitions dump. Well, then it makes total sense. They're like, oh, well, cool. Like we bred this, this herd of cows so we can test anthrax on them.
Mm.
Well, now that there's enough cows, let's go back with a pot of anthrax.
Sure. That is at least a valid theory anyway, because they don't really tell you. They don't really tell you why the engineers are mad at. I mean, there have been all these people that have, there's tons of theorizing on the internet about that, including someone really enjoying the fact that when one pulls off David's head to hit Waylon with it, that's like this inversion of the Athena thing of like, you know, rather than springing forth from the head. It's bashing the head of the creator or something. It's like that. I'm glad you're trying to justify your folk literature degree, but I think it's just an alien was mad. But
well, the other side of it is that, and this I think is in concordance with what I'm saying, is the calling it Prometheus is Zeus realizing giving fire was a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, he knew it was a bad idea. That's why he got mad at Prometheus. But like the idea of like fire. Allowing humans to evolve and become as unto gods.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird when you talk about God stuff, weird phrases like that come out.
Yeah.
It's so
you
fucking
can't
odd.
Help but feel like
no
an
one,
asshole.
No one would ever say as unto gods in another. Oh, and that's, I was as unto the San Diego Padres. No, that just.
You do it when you talk about Rom, the king of the ocean, the king of Aquaman. They're brought forth unto Rom.
Okay, yeah, yes. Fair enough. Calling the movie Prometheus and them coming back to try to kill us in a kind of echoing of Zeus trying to destroy humankind, it does make sense. It's not like, well, I mean, it's not like Zeus had black goo that was going to make us explode into exoskeleton xenomorphs.
No, but here's an interesting theory that I was reading today, and apologies, I can't remember who was positing this. Their idea was that basically the black goo that is the caviar that the guy eats at the beginning of the movie, the diaper baby.
Yeah.
It reacts to things. So when the engineer takes it and is doing so in this Zen sort of selfless, I'm here to create life thing, it does so. And like, it's all good. But like when the humans go into the chamber and all that black goo stuff is there, it makes awful things. So it's like, it is the goo in and of itself is both sort of life and death.
Hmm. I think that's a fun theory, but I don't think yeah, that bears out in the film.
Yeah, again, like...
Because then who are the engineers running away from in that holo clip?
Yeah, don't know. I mean, there's so much stuff about the alien stuff that doesn't make any sense. Like,
here's what I think happened. They are munitions dump, a flower pot full of goo fell over.
Mm-hmm.
One of the engineers got infected and turned into a xenomorph or something very similar to one. And that's the holo clip of them running away from it because they're like, oh, fuck, one's loose. 2,000 years later. So I think that black goo is prohibitively, like, it's probably bad.
Yeah, no,
that's what happened there. That's why they're all
there's
dead.
There's a pile of dead bodies.
Yeah, and there's one guy that was left alive in stasis. He wakes back up and goes, okay, now, you know, let's keep the mission going.
Yeah.
But he's, obviously they're assholes too because he's, you know. Kills
the, totally, but yeah. I mean, you know, we don't know what their thing is. We don't know what David said to him, which is again like David's, you know, he's been like, hey, these guys want to take your shit. You know, I'm one of the good ones. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what he said to him.
The old guy said you have a tiny wiener.
Which, getting to the old guy. So initially they wanted someone like Max von Sydow, which would have been fantastic.
Ooh, that would have been fun.
But there was a cut scene where like it was guy, I want to say Guy Ritchie, Guy Pearce as a young Waylon. And I think it's one that they revisit at the beginning of Covenant, which I won't get into here. But it's actually one of the few scenes I liked in that movie. Because otherwise, it makes no sense why it's Guy Pearce in old man makeup. Who, by the way, looks like fucking Dan Aykroyd in Nothing But Trouble. That is some awful old age makeup.
Slightly less penis nose, but yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
It's really, really bad.
Oh, I don't think it's really, really bad. It's not awful. It's not great, but I think the veins in the head actually look pretty good.
I think his
acting is bad. His voice acting is not good.
Yeah.
Because he does not sound old at all.
Nope.
And he doesn't portray age well, like physicality wise. Yes.
Yeah. Particularly later when it's revealed that he's on the ship and he's like he's supposed to be barely functioning. He's fine. Like he's
yeah. He's got a really strong voice. So yeah. Not well acted.
Yeah. Which I guess in that context of like spying on your people or whatever, the whole David puts on a visor and can get into your dreams thing.
I thought it was
so stupid.
I love it.
Like, first of all, it's just clumsy exposition for this character and what she believes, I guess. But it's also like, man, like the other night I had a dream about a spinning V-neck guitar over a background of water. What is that supposed to tell you?
That you rock?
I guess. He's like, this guy's too cool. I will leave him alone. You know what I mean? Like, you just happen to come on like that dream. It's like, and who knows if any of that stuff actually happened?
Yeah, no, but I fucking adore him just bored looking at people's dreams. That's the way he spends the however many years it takes them to get there. Like, oh, I love that shit. It's so fun. Like, that is almost like Star Wars to me. Like, it's just this dirty, grimy ship. And then you got like, yeah, I'm going to put on my dream helmet. Like, this just, because like, you know, like the original Star Wars is just weird as fuck.
I guess that's something too that I don't like. Like, I liked the ship in the first Aliens. I like that lived in world, and this felt much more sort of just sci-fi ship, which I didn't mind. Like it's fine, but just I like a more dirty ass ship. But I liked all the land, like the landings. I stuff that looks like a dime store sci-fi novel. I'm on board with that. Like just the way the bridge looked from the outside.
Yeah.
Well, I love it. Just the giant windows and
yeah.
And what's his face standing there trying to talk in a southern accent, I guess.
Idris Elba.
Yeah.
His accent was not good, but I didn't mind it because we're in space. If this were taking place in Tennessee or something, mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, that's fucking abhorrent. But like, it is technically the future. We're in space. I'm not going to overly criticize his shitty fucking southern accent. Okay. Like, it's because it's out of context. Who the fuck? Maybe his mom was from Memphis and he was raised in London. You know, you don't know.
His mom was raised with a mouthful of marbles.
It was a weird choice. And also, it was odd to hear him talk to Noomi Rapace, who is basically doing a phonetic read of a British accent.
Yeah.
And he's a British person. So it's like, why don't you just let it?
It's like a Highlander all over again.
No.
I am from Scotland.
There's nothing worse than Christopher Lambert. And that's his real accent. That's not him doing that for the stage. That's what he sounds like.
Did you know also he's like basically he's functionally blind? Like he can't see anything unless
he nearly chopped off some well respected actor's finger.
Why did this guy get anywhere ever?
I think Maybe his eyes degenerated, but, or just back then there weren't that many people good with swords.
I guess.
And I was going to say they're also good at acting, but no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's who we could get rid of. Most of the crew.
Yes.
And Charlize Theron, who serves no purpose.
Okay, other than to remind you of all, like, the part where she and Idris Elba casually bang. That, like,
yeah.
Why didn't they just crash land the ship and make the, like, a race of the most beautiful people imaginable?
Yeah, that would have been a great, not a great ending, but, like, I wouldn't mind if that was the end. We're like, this is our new Eden, let's repopulate it with, I mean, yeah, literally, like, the best examples of humanity can provide. Because they're both, I don't know if you noticed this, they're both very attractive people.
Yeah, I mean, if somehow you get Michael Fassbender in there, just, you know, everyone is just handsome and beautiful and...
I think the first act of the film, other than their little meeting talking about when they land on the planet, talking about why they're there, that's ineffective. But I think them finding the runes or the cave glyphs, getting the mission, getting there to the reveal of the alien building, I think the reveal of the alien building is one of the more powerful sci-fi alien reveals
again,
ever. That was fucking awesome. Like, you could feel them being like, I'm vibrating. Like, that's a fucking, like where they go, God doesn't make straight lines.
Yeah.
And they see, like, this straight line leading to this thing. They're like, well, is this a, did we just fight a fucking alien building? Because that's the thing a lot of sci-fi glosses over. It's like, that's a fucking...
The joy of discovery.
Alien, fucking aliens built that. Like, that's like, it's, you know, because we usually find sci-fi universes where it's established. Like, hey, this is my Chewbacca friend. Like, no, this is like, holy fuck, like, not humans made that fucking thing I'm looking at. And the way they built it, like, the way they established it, I thought it was beautiful. And also that they didn't give away that it was a building immediately.
Yeah.
There's a bit of, this is like, this is... I mean, is this natural? Guys, is this natural? Are they kind of like going back and forth until they start seeing, like, could that be a glyph on the wall? Like, it's a slow build. Mm-hmm. And then finally it's just, oh, fuck. But I also like, and this is the thing with Wayland and David knowing more, is David's like looking at the goo and it's like, oh, interesting. And they find some runes on the wall. It's like writing his finger paint on. It's like, like, he knows how to operate the ship a little bit. It's like, they know some extra shit. Like, there's, which I like that. And I like it as just a functionality of the film. Like, they don't ask the question nor answer it. It's just kind of like, yeah, he's a fucking trillionaire that founded the thing. I just kind of like operating in the background. There's character instead of just, oh, the movie started. Now I have a character and I'm going to start operating. Like, this movie happened before it started.
Sure, yeah.
Which doesn't happen
a
lot of
times. It has backstory?
No, but...
Crazy.
But a lot of movies don't. A lot of movies feel
Fair enough.
Yeah, a lot of movies, it feels like the characters came to existence just... Like, most of the characters in this feel like they came into existence just for this movie. Mm-hmm. But, like, the Wayland and David feels like there's decades of history that led to this. And that we don't need a backstory for it. We don't need a prequel to explain it. It's just... Yeah, the rich guy probably knows more than he's letting on. I think that's efficient in its telling. And I don't know. It's rare to have that sort of thing happen in a movie. I don't know. These movies got really dumb really quick, so it's like
the first two are so good. You know,
the first one is
Oh, Aliens is fantastic.
I know. I like Aliens, but it's not. I think the first one is like a classic of like cinema, and the second one's like a really good, you know, space shoot 'em up.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But I mean,
it's a very efficient movie.
But it's like, two different scales of
But I don't think this one meets either of them.
No, but I also, I mean, it's, and I don't think it's fair to compare it to, like, you know, like,
the prequel, the things that it's a prequel to.
No, I mean, just to like the, you know, the classics of, you know, cinema. Yeah, it's kind of a tough bar.
Oh, by the same director of the first one. It's unfair to...
Well, I mean...
What are you talking about?
Because it came out X number of years later, but just watching it in a vacuum, it's just, I don't know, it's a... You don't need those movies for this movie to operate. Like, this movie stands by itself. Like, if this was called, you know, actually, it was just called Prometheus. If you didn't know Alien existed and never saw it, this movie works fine. You don't need those movies for this to operate. And I try to hold this just as on its own as a piece of art.
But it's so tied to the other ones, though. Like, not just in
I mean, not
like it's plot stuff, but like a lot of the themes are kind of the same. But I think they're watered down in this one. Like some of the, like the whole like life, death being one thing. I don't think that this as well, but I think that's absurd to like not be able to hold it in comparison to Ridley Scott's other movies.
No, well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, as a piece of art, you can hold it up by itself. It's not like it needs to operate within the Scottiverse.
But you cannot escape those comparisons because it is a direct prequel.
Yeah.
It is. There's no escaping that because he decided he was fighting against that. He was maybe it isn't, but he decided to. So,
but it doesn't, like, if those movies never existed, this movie still works. It's like the Star Wars prequels. Mm. Those don't work unless the original Star Wars movies happened. Mm. They don't make any sense. Like none of the Force is explained. Nothing. None of those movies make sense unless those first three movies exist.
Okay.
If there was never an Alien movie or Alien versus Predator, mm-hmm. Predator versus Alien, or Chucky versus Predator versus Alien versus Freddy versus Jason,
mm-hmm.
Versus Ash versus Evil Dead, this movie operates 100% as efficiently and as well as if those other movies didn't exist.
I
know that you can't separate them, but I'm trying to view it as much separate from the other entities because it does stand by itself. This doesn't need the other movies to operate.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it needs a lot to operate, like good. That it doesn't have, not just those movies. Why have Waylon be on this trip? That really amounted to nothing. That was unnecessary.
Yeah.
Him. Why does Meredith Vickers being his daughters? Why does that matter? There's all these things that, like, it seems like they're trying to put something there.
Yeah.
And there's nothing there. Like, none of these themes you explore. There's like, oh yeah, the creations that creators that don't are fans fond of their creation. Yeah, that's just, look, we'll just line up these examples around each other. We're not going to try to say anything about it.
Yeah.
I thought that was a huge failing of the movie. It's trying to be all ponderous, and it's not. It's philosophy 101 stuff.
I guess I didn't take it as trying to be ponderous. It read to me like...
It's about meeting your maker. Like,
no,
that's
no,
the
I,
thing.
No, I know, but it reads more like that's the backdrop to space horror. Like, the first one. Like, I mean, it's...
The first one is, I mean, the Alien is here there be dragons. It's you exploring and then encountering something you don't understand. This is actually trying to get answers and then just, I mean, I understand that sort of recursive thing about you looking into something and there's only more questions.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a neat idea, but I just don't think, I think it wanted to try to be this space opera on one hand, but it didn't really follow through with that. It didn't really follow through with being a ponderous
thing. Can see, I think it's just kind of expectation to what you're, That wasn't what I felt like the movie was trying to set up. Like, it just seemed like it was a space movie where they run into aliens in the search for God. Like, I mean, it's like Life Force. Like, I mean, it's, was that the movie with the space vampires?
Yeah. That one was fun though.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. See, I thought this was pretty fun. Like, there was a lot of, the stuff I liked about this is so much more than the stuff I didn't like. Let me just go back and agree with you. I guess if I was coming into this, reading it as this was trying to be, you know, meditation on something.
I'm not coming into it with that. The movie wants it to be that.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like
it. No, it doesn't. Like, it thinks it's doing that.
I see. Does it? Because it feels like it's Indiana Jonesy. Hey, look, there's a thing on a wall. Let's follow the sign. Oh, you need a staff that's 6 rods tall. Like, mm-hmm. it's an action.
But you know how, like, Indiana Jones has character? And, like, he's got charm and personality.
Well, charm and personality. I don't know about character.
That's part of a character.
Yeah,
but like, these are just paper cutouts that just are going that fall into different holes.
But that's fine. But I'm just saying it trying to be like any kind of anything more than like a space adventure romp thing. I guess anything that starts off with an archaeology scene that leads to the next clue in my head, that doesn't make me go, oh, now this is going to be a philosophical thing. It's almost like, it's like those people that overthought the Matrix was like, no, it's a fucking shoot 'em up. Mm. Like, I get there's behind it, there's some philosophical questions, but it's like, no, I mean, if I thought the Matrix was a philosophy movie, that movie's garbage on toast.
But I guess
I guess that's where I'm agreeing with you, where it's like, if I read this movie as it attempting philosophy, then yeah, it's not nearly as good as I think it is.
Yeah. But I guess maybe I'm thinking it does that because the plot elements of it aren't good. Like, I'm not interested in anything that's happening because I don't like any of these characters. Whatever they're doing, I don't care about. Like, there's a billion of them. So like the guy that's like has a gun and she's like, don't bring guns. He's like, okay. And then you never see him again.
Yeah. No, there's far too many characters. There's no denying it. I don't really understand the thinking behind that.
But just, even in the exploration stuff, there's just a lot of just like already in that first section where like the guy, Fifield and the other guy run away because of that in...
You're not wrong, but it's amazing how quick that happened because you don't really know the characters yet by the time that happens. So it's just odd that you hate them already. That
yeah, because they've given me nothing. Like, everyone's an asshole to each other.
Yeah.
What time I have spent with them is them just being shitty to one another.
Yeah.
And not in an interesting way. And
now,
let me
pitch this to you.
Uh-huh.
What would happen if Fifield and other guy, one of them's played by Yaphet Kotto?
Much better.
Okay.
Yeah, right, they brought some humanity to it.
Okay.
And then when the other guy is like, I'm a biologist, but I'm going to just try to cozy up to this snake. That felt real stupid.
You know, I thought about that this time, and it actually occurs to me that as dumb as that is, I think that's actually the most realistic thing in the thing. Because think about every biology show you watch on TV, like Steve Irwin, where it's like,
And that worked out great for him.
Well, to be fair, he got killed by something that's never killed another human in the history of ever. But still, that asshole's like holding his kid out in front of a crocodile while juggling snakes.
Yeah.
Biologists are fucking idiots.
Sure, but like he knows he's been around a croc enough.
No, I know. But it was just one of those like, that annoyed the shit out of me the first time I watched this movie. But then it's like, it just reminded me of like, wait a second. Every biologist I've ever seen on TV is exactly like this. They're just like, oh, look at that sweet little girl. I'm going to approach it. It's like, no. I'm going to have non-threatening. It's like, no, that's a space monster.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's nothing. You're like, this is an alien. This is a completely alien thing. You have no idea what this is based on. And again, like, if the whole thing is that because everyone is dumb and bad at their jobs, this would make total sense.
Well, and I think those two were meant to be high.
Based on what?
Well, the guy's smoking in his suit and he goes, is that tobacco? It's tobacco. And then after that scene, the other guy's acting dumb, too. I think they both got high.
I think he was smoking tobacco in his suit.
No, because he laughed about it, and he goes, yeah, tobacco.
Yeah, because how dumb is that? That you have tobacco in your space suit?
No. I think the wink is it's not tobacco.
We're just going to disagree on that, because that's it. That's asinine.
Because his response was, yeah, tobacco. Like,
response is like, yeah, I'm smoking tobacco.
No. I took it as a wink, like it was a Scooby-Doo thing. Because then the next scene, that other guy's acting like an asshole, too. And it's like, oh, are they the high guys? Because also, they're like,
if the idea is...
In a movie I'm defending, I'm comparing to Scooby-Doo, so I do
understand...
No, that's fair.
That's fair enough. But it leads into my thing of like, cool, you did a terrible job of explaining that. You went for being opaque versus telling a story. And I think there's a way to do that. Obviously, I don't need all my questions answered about why everything's doing it, but I think there's so many things that you're just... I don't care about the plot.
Those two I need out of the movie, and I think it gets exponentially better because they're... But again, coming into it, it's like, and I think it's the thing with there being a lot of characters, like, oh, cool, cannon fodder. Because I'm coming into it, it's like, oh, this is going to be like a space horror.
But it's also like the fact that they get lost.
No, that's...
It's a circle.
Yeah.
Like you entered into a circle.
No, it was like a helix. I showed it later. Then it
goes down. But I mean, just come on.
Okay. Speaking of that, let's talk about idiocy in this. All right. Now, you and I were not the most fit athletic people that's ever existed. But let's say, for instance, John behind us, there is a circle falling, rolling behind us, rolling towards us.
That I will defend.
What, running left?
No, like just being an idiot, panicking and being
an
idiot.
Because God, that was annoying. You're just like, it's rolling. Go in the direction it's not rolling.
As someone who has repeatedly done stupid things, and I'm on panic, I'm like, no, I would totally run forward.
Because God, that was fucking irritating. It's like, just run the way that nature doesn't let stuff happen. Oh, God, that fucking annoyed the shit out of me. What else happened?
Here's some things. Whatever, I guess this is maybe a nitpicky. How does Stringer Bell know anything? Like at one point, he just basically gives this whole thing. This is a weapons depot, this, that, and the other. Like he just makes all these conclusions right away that no one else has figured out for some reason.
Yeah, my thought on that was he's ex-military and he's one of those guys that sees everything as that's the thing they used to be, is my thought.
I mean, because at that point, you just made up a whole thing.
Oh, no, totally. Yeah, but It works for,
I mean, it moves the plot along, but just, I don't know. That just felt very much like, oh, okay, no one else can figure it out, but this guy just shows up and is like, oh. Which also, why would they give us directions to their, why go like, hey, these five planets. Hey, everyone, these five planets. Oh, no, it's just a military base. Like, why give us those hieroglyphs?
So this is part of the reason that I thought it was they're waiting for us to be sufficiently kind of evolved to do the testing. So if we show up, they go, oh, fuck, dinner's done, and then pop back over and drop the goo on the planet what happens.
But they were going to pop back over.
No, but what I mean is that would be one of the – they're like, hey, we're from over here. So, if you guys end up having some spaceships, I mean, obviously it's not going to be this casual, but
– Yeah, but I think that's a weird thing to like –
Well, you don't want us getting overly evolved. What happens if we, develop, fucking Ultron nukes and can beat them in a fight?
But, they're 37 bajillion miles away, how would we ever find them?
Well, like
without
that.
them telling us these five
planets. Oh, no. What I mean is, like, it's kind of like a signal that they're we're ready to be cold is when we show up at the door.
But that doesn't happen. Like, they're ready to call us before we show up at the door.
But we don't know that. We don't know how long they were going to wait.
They were getting ready to leave when the thing went kablooey and killed them all.
Oh, you thought they were getting ready to leave, huh?
I believe they mentioned that they were getting ready to leave.
No.
I thought David mentioned something to that effect, because particularly after the thing that happened to the reason they hate us and they wanted to kill us anyway wasn't that we showed up.
No, I didn't think that it was because we showed up. I thought it was more like that was their plan was to come back, but I didn't think of it as like the action hologram sequence of them running to the door. I didn't think that was part of the leaving sequence. I thought shit went wrong.
I think I think they were preparing to come back and get us. I mean, it seems weird to have a fully staffed automated base just in case we show up.
No, well, I don't mean just in case. They were going to go there.
Yeah.
Grant, that was going to happen. What I'm saying is they gave instructions to where they were as a kind of, hey, if they show up early, we're like, hey, they're ready early. You know, if you know a turkey is going to cook in 5 hours.
Yeah.
You still put that little poppy up thing in it. Because if the poppy up thing pops up, you know the turkey's done, even if it hasn't been 5 hours.
But why do I need to tell the turkey any of this?
I don't really have a problem with it. I mean, and again, I also took this as kind of space shoot 'em up. They were like, yeah, they're going to tell us where they are. They're pointed to the thing.
Yeah, again, I don't have an answer.
Or they're vindictive cunts. I mean, that's also, this is based on Greek myth. The Greek gods are fucking assholes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that. If they're just like, oh, wait, they have blue eyes? No, screw this. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm not married to the, you know, they're raising us up and waiting for us to be sufficiently bald. But I mean, that's such a part of like the ancient alien mythos that I feel like it fits. But also in like the Greek god of just like, you know, the Titans eating their children, which is like, yeah, now they're just Titans. They're just going to start eating our ass.
Well, kind of the same thing when David shows up and like when they wake up the alien and, you know, because I know some people were kind of complaining about like the sort of reaction that he's like, you know, these people show up and they're like speaking his language and his choice is to kill them. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's awesome.
Here's the one part about that an ashen white person with a helmet that looks like that. That's Neil Gaiman's Sandman.
Yeah.
His dream. It's the same.
Right. But I mean, but I think the space jockey might have been made before then. I'm not sure when the timeline for Sandman was. But I understand 100% what
you're
saying.
It was just one of those like, hey, wait, that's the
but
same
that's,
mask.
But that's also kind of a bummer, though, because it's these space jockeys, this iconic thing from Alien that it's like, oh, no, that's a helmet. It's these diaper babies. And you're like, oh.
Oh, were they in the original Alien?
Yeah, that's the thing they find. In fact, an early version of the script had this all happening on the planet that eventually Ripley and them go to. Which I do like. I do like the idea.
How do they find the alien in the original Alien? I don't remember that part.
Distress beacon, which I think the ship actually sent out.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But I do like the idea of either. Even though, you know, I don't have an explanation for the five planets thing.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea of us stumbling into this stuff due to a misunderstood communication.
Oh yeah.
I like that as a mirrored thing between the two movies too. I like that little bit.
Yeah.
I did really really like the forced cesarean scene.
Oh, the space abortion is fucking great.
Is very intense and body horror stuff and really great. And arguably you could do a whole thematic thing there with Prometheus and having his guts torn open. That's mirrored there. I just like his stapling it back shut.
Yeah.
Stapling the tummy shut is pretty impressive.
That scene is so fucking good. And that's one of the scenes that scene wiped away three of the dumb scenes. So I'm just like, oh, that's so good.
How does the thing grow and eat and get bigger?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's the same problem with the original. With the original Alien, because it goes for like it's not like it has. It's not like it's like got into the Wheaties and then it started growing.
Yeah,
like, it just does. I think it's, you know, it's a design thing, so somehow it grows.
Yeah, it has. It's like when you add water to a sponge dinosaur. It's like, well, it's enough there to start taking shape, and then it's going to run away.
Yeah,
it's sponge dinosaur.
Yeah, it turns into that weird tentacle thing that guy fucked in Galaxy Quest.
That's right.
No, we don't really need to talk. Well, I mean, it's just more of a small point. Another kind of very pretty scene, because this movie reminds me that this guy knows how to like make stuff look nice.
Yeah.
Where David activates the kind of navigation system, and it's this big swelling orchestral thing.
Yeah.
And there's all these planets. Like, it's pretty fucking cool. Like, I mean, there's nothing, like, it doesn't need to be there. It's just kind of like
it was cool. Like, I've played a JRPG before, so I've seen that. But
however, I haven't. So that's this is really new to me.
I'm cool.
Yeah.
But the flute, what was that?
Oh yeah.
I mean, a minor thing, but
I don't know
what. Like, oh, so it's you have to play this tone to start it all up, and then you press a whole bunch of buttons. Why have the flute?
I don't know. I didn't really think about that.
And like, why?
I mean, it was just kind of cool.
Like neat looking stuff. Like their whole security system thing. We're like, and then we'll show you how to activate everything. And this, was cool. It didn't make much sense. I thought
I think
it was cool.
I have a reason behind that. I think they were in like holy shit panic mode because the xenomorph word, the pre xenomorph got out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the emergency recording. That's like the black box.
Oh yeah.
So it's everything was.
If it was just your general security, I'm fine with it. I just thought it was cool.
No, I just spent a lot of time thinking about like, why would they record these people running down the hallway? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh no, that's the black box. So when people show up later, you'd be like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
Like, why are all my gods dead? Where'd my gods go?
Yeah. Well, another interesting question though. I mean, like, it's not like there's a pile of dead bodies.
Mm.
If I feel them come across this pile of dead bodies, what happened to those guys? Like if the rabbit. Alien thing was an alien thing.
It was a rabbit.
Oh, it's a rat. Okay, never mind.
Look at the bones.
But just like what if there was an alien type thing, wouldn't there be a lot of those things around?
Well, it was 2,000 years ago. So I wonder if maybe whatever killed them is also dead.
Mm, could be. I mean, I'm just wondering, you know, like
because that was part of the, and again, taking the helmet off, very dumb.
Yeah.
But that was part of the it should have been very, very dumb in my head of like, yeah, they've been dead for 2,000 years. There's not going to be any fucking
But it's also that he says like, don't be so skeptical. You're a scientist. You should absolutely be skeptical. That part was really dumb to me.
Yeah, but they were like weirdo Christian scientists. So
yeah, she was. He wasn't because he's even like, your cross is dumb.
Yeah.
I
mean, at that point, you kind of have to go like the whole God thing is, yeah.
I mean, yeah, but who made them?
She did say that.
Yeah.
One of the things that made me, one of those guys go, well, you want us to just throw out 300 years of Darwinism?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That can still be there. Like, that's you can still put the pieces in motion. That's, you know.
But, I mean, this again, if you want to, like, invent backstory for stuff, I like the idea of this movie. The backstory is like, hey, here we're going on this expedition. You're going to be gone for probably like 50 years. You're going to get paid a ton of money, but everything you know is going to be dead by the time you get back. They didn't really explain how long space travel takes or, you know, whatever. But that any, like, normal person or someone good at their job, being as honest, was like, oh, no, I don't like those turns. But just like the worst people are like,
yeah,
I got these orbs. Let me come and go along.
Well, I mean, that's also part of the them being assholes thing. And I think, and as much as I said, we shouldn't compare it to the first movies. I think the first movies, they're kind of a ragtag team and it works better.
Well, yeah, because they've been on tons of missions together. There,
so, but I mean, I think this is like, I mean, it's not like, I think if their first mission, this crew, if their first mission killed off like three of them, I think like 3-4 more missions, they could probably get a cool rapport going.
Yeah.
And then like be like but like, yeah, it doesn't work for them to all be the first time out. Cause it's just like this awkward, like.
No one knows anybody. There's no relationships. Yeah. Like other than Benedict Wong, baby, him and the captain know each other.
He kind of is the best.
I mean, there's no reason for him to be in the movie, but I love him.
And the other pilot guy that's just there.
Yeah. Yeah. At the end, like Chance, I believe his name is.
Yeah.
That like there's a close up of him reacting to something. I'm like, who's this guy? And then when he says Chance, go do this, I'm like, oh yeah, he was. Idris Elba yelled at him about touching goo before.
Well, I wonder. I mean, you read more about this than I did because I wanted to. I like this movie so much better than I was expecting to that I didn't want to read more about it because I know it'd take away the things I like. I wonder how much in the cutscenes there is, like with these other characters and how annoying they would be. Like, I bet you they filmed an extra 45.
There was a little bit more thing about how this was everyone is kept hush-hush in the dark about it, which Waylon's keeping everyone hush-hush doesn't make much sense because if his goal was to come out and, you know, oh no, I secretly wanted to find out their thing for immortality. Yeah. Then everyone knows about it after like 2 days. Like, why not just tell everyone I'm coming along too? Like, that seemed like an unnecessary level of being a ruse. Because like, what are these people going to do? Say no? Like,
yeah,
you're funding our Charlize Theron tells them like, you're funding our trip. You know, you're kind of, we have an agenda. They're like, good point. We're still going to find out our shit.
Yeah.
Why not just tell them that? Like, why this subterfuge?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just him trying to keep the secret for as long as possible.
But why? Why is it a secret?
Well, I mean, if his company is still in business, I think the patriarch of a company spending $3.6 trillion to chase down space gods, I think that might be bad for the stock.
But why is she, then why is like, why is she there? I mean.
Oh, no, her being there makes no sense, but I kind of understand his thoughts behind it.
Yeah, I guess, I mean.
No, her being there is other than Charlize Theron is wonderful.
But I guess if you pitch it as not like, hey, I'm trying to extend my life, but if you're like. You know, I'm, everyone knows you're a fucking old man. Like you can't hide that. Your face looks like a California raisin. If you're like, I'm going to explore the stars and that's how much committed I am to this being an awesome thing. I think that would, you know, business wise, I think that's a smart play.
Yeah. I mean, if you did it that way, but he seems like the type that would get on stage and be like, I want to go to space and find space gods so I could live forever. And she's in the Oscar like, Dad, shut the fuck
Please
up.
Please just die. Yeah.
It's like Elon Musk where he's like, No. Instead of going to board meetings, I'm going to go on Joe Rogan and smoke pot on camera. Yeah. People are just
I'm going to shoot a Tesla into space.
Yeah, we like
What about the homeless? Tesla into space.
I still like the theory that some people put up the theory that the Tesla, when they shot into the space, there was a body in the trunk.
Yeah.
There was like legitimate conspiracy. There was people that legitimately believed that they shot a dead body in the trunk of that Tesla. Where does that come from?
I like the idea of like the trunk opens and it's just like a monkey with one of those gray alien masks just like stapled to it. You know, Musk is like, I discovered aliens, everybody. Check me out.
He'd probably do it too. The ship gets rammed, which I kind of like that scene. It's a little predictable, but it was a nice little bit of action sequence. You know, the Idris Elba doing stuff, getting convinced. Cause that's like, it's always so frustrating movies where you have to do the convincing I think she gets across the there won't be a planet anymore.
Yeah.
I
that thought, they're like, there's no other choice. That was fine. Yeah.
It's pretty tropey, but I thought it was an effective little bit of business, but, I like her getting back to the escape pod thing. And realizing that her baby's in there, you know, like the squid baby, you're just like, oh, that's fucking freaky.
And it makes sense because, well, no, because David's already kind of screwed her over. I don't know.
Well, I think she...
I know that she's like, I want answers, which at this point I'd be like, I don't, because you don't like us. What are they going to tell you when you get there? They're going to try to kill you.
Well, but here's the thing, though, and this is not a legitimate argument, but like,
oh great,
what if? I mean, because let's face it, I've been open on the show that I don't support the military. What if they're the military? So they go to the planet, and there's just a whole bunch of rad, giant white guys that are just like, you know, getting high and they're great philosophy, wonderful jazz music. Right. They have the best coffee. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, they live on this like wonderful, like the entire planet is like a beautiful LA day. Like, it is just like this lovely place. And it's just like, no, yeah, that's the military meathead assholes. Come.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Wait, we made you? Holy fuck, guys, we made them.
Which I think that's one thing to take away from this movie is don't be a dick to robots.
Yeah.
Because I mean, and this is the second movie in a row with this, with Blade Runner or whatever, where people are just like, I mean, I understand the uncanny valley and all that, but people are just mean to robots.
Oh, and this, another one, dead on says you don't have a soul in this movie. Two movies in a row saying a robot doesn't have a soul. I liked, and I think this is a smarter way to end the film than would have been done in a lot of other movies. Noomi Rapace, not forgiving David, not, like, she made peace pretty quickly with, like, yeah, he's a fucking robot. Mm-hmm. Like, there wasn't, like, oh, he's this malevolent, awful thing. It's like, I think, like, those things are treated as human so much, because they have, like, just such an enemy in their face. Of her just kind of, like, having this instant understanding of, like, oh, no, his master told him to do this. You know, like, I can't be, there's not, like, anger in it, even though... he's the inciting incident. She's like, yeah, I need you. So I'm going to grab you and your dumb head and let's fucking
move on. I mean, and it makes sense for what she knows, I guess, because it is like, just like you said earlier, like he's a force of chaos. He's not just doing what his master says, cause he's a dick about a lot of other things and wants his, you know, references that he wants his parents to die. But he's also like not helped her out at all when she had the baby in her and she's like, get it out of me. And he's like, just do a whole lot of drugs. Don't worry about it.
Oh yeah. And he admits to killing her husband.
Yeah.
But I mean, I like that she understands that he's a robot. There's like a nuance is the wrong word, but I think that's a cool bit of writing. Cause that should be I'm mad at you. You're the bad guy in this. But like, they understood that he's not the bad guy because he can't be the bad guy. He's an automaton, which is interesting robot writing.
Well, I just think he is the bad guy. I mean, whether or not he's programmed that way, there's no reason to trust him.
But she's not trusting. She's understanding his nature at the end. So the philosophical question in Blade Runner is, you know, are they a real boy? Like, you know, is there something more to it, or is it just such efficient programming that they've tricked us into believing that they have, mm-hmm. you know, a soul or something more to it?
Right.
Well, this kind of the intrinsic understanding is, no, they're just very well programmed robots. Which I guess maybe just because we came immediately after.
Yeah, I guess I didn't get the sense, because I think there's a certain malevolence to him, or there's a certain like wild child thing of it, of not just like, well, I'm just doing this because I'm programmed this way. Yeah. Because it seemed like he also has his own ulterior motives.
No, but what I mean is she's not judging him on a human level at the end. She's judging him on a robotic level, which is so many of anything where there's that advance of a robot, immediately the topic is, well, are they real? Mm-hmm. And in this one, it's not, they don't juggle that.
No, they just go, yeah.
Like, oh no, you're a tool. Like, right. you're literally like, you're a bulldozer. Like, I guess it's just kind of refreshing coming off of Blade Runner. And I think where we are in the world right now, there's a lot more movies where the main thesis is, are they real or are they not mm-hmm. real? To have it just be, no, that's our toaster, David. Like,
right.
Yeah, there's a certain, I don't know, and I like the kind of her coming back to like, oh no, I need that toaster, David, because I need to go to the next place, and he knows how to fly the ship.
Yeah, but I do think it is sort of, it does tie into the whole creator and creation thing.
Yeah.
And how the creations feel about the creator, because he's not stoked on humans, basically.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, but you're welcome, David. You know, we gave you the gift of life.
Yeah, and now we're going to be mean at you because of it.
Maybe they weren't so delicate with their language. I'm sorry, you're so left-wing, libtard.
Well, the one asshole guy that's like, and when he just like sets up that thing, so he's like, you know, like, why do we make you go? Oh, because we can. Like, what would you, how would you feel if your creator said the same thing about you? Which, again, is an interesting concept, but like, yeah. That's all we're going to do with that.
Just say, make the engineers great again, John.
Yeah.
It's you with your, oh, I'm so offended by their language. Mm-hmm. Hey, why don't you go back to where you came from?
And their nudity.
From?
Yeah.
Well, they weren't nude. They had diapers on.
They had diapers on.
So the end of the, she tricks the guy to be near the door, and the technical guy kills the engineer.
Yeah.
Which, I'm okay with that. Like, I guess that ended the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and then the thing that comes out of him is very primitive xenomorph.
I quite like that because, again, the trying to watch this outside of the seeing the other movies first, it's not like a wink. I mean, it is, but it doesn't need to be. Like, again, I just going back to any prequel is always so dependent on where it came from.
Yeah, why is the thing like, okay, it's a snake that gets into you. That gestates and becomes this squid thing,
yeah.
That then gets into you and gestates and becomes this other thing.
Well, okay, so here's...
I haven't played much Pokemon, but this doesn't make much sense to me.
Well, I mean, it didn't make sense in the original movies either.
Where it's like, here's this thing that makes this face hugger comes out of an egg.
Yeah.
Plants this thing into you, and then that makes this alien thing.
Well, I think...
That's a two-stage process.
Well, I think it's the same thing, except the first time it's into a human, and that makes a weird...
Much like in Alien 3, how it was like the dog alien. Because it comes out of a dog and it runs on all fours a lot more and stuff like that. So it's more like where the alien comes from versus...
That's what I took it at. So
yeah,
I
think that's fair.
I think the idea was when it gets into an engineer who is like, you know, top tier evolutionary thing,
yeah.
You get the holy fuck, you know,
xenomorph. I feel like we need to do an Alien Covenant because this will either undo or confirm that statement.
I mean, here's the thing about it. I don't care about Alien as much as you do. So, my
issues with this movie stem from it being Alien.
No, what I mean is like, I don't give a shit about whether like they turned into xenomorphs. Like I'm good at the end of this movie. I don't need another one of these. Like I'd be vaguely interested in a movie that explores the engineers a little bit more, like what their planet's like, but I mean, not enough to, I mean, I don't really even need, after Alien, I don't really, I like the later Aliens, but it's just like, that first one was really good, but, you know, it's kind of like Terminator, where it's like, that second one's really good. It's also, it's not a good piece of cinema, but man, it's fun to watch.
No, the second one's
like,
great.
Yeah, no, it's fun to watch. That first one's like, oh, this is like a kind of a classic and like, you know, low-budge sci-fi creating of a thing.
I think Terminator 2 holds up to this day.
Oh, no, totally. But it's like a different kind of spectrum, where it's one of those like, yeah, I'm kind of good. And then the same kind of diminishing returns with the Terminator as with Aliens. You know, it's like, oh, we're... Oh boy, you're still making these, huh? And with this one, I'm like, I like this. I don't need another one. I don't need to explore.
I think if you got rid of like at least a half hour of this, it might be better. But
oh, this is bloated as fuck. There's no. They need to cut. Charlize Theron doesn't need to be there. They cut like half the crew. Like the editing in this is not efficient. Like they made no efforts into making it like, I don't even want to say efficient, but like they just.
Well, I think that's my thing about it, feeling like it wants to be this ponderous, deep sci-fi thing, is that instead of it being this zippy space opera thing, it wants to try to have these messages about creators and creation that it doesn't really follow through with.
See, I think it's I like where they leave that. I think it's just I like the amount of mythology they put in. It's just keep that amount of mythology, but now make a zippy shoot 'em up space monster movie
like instead of trying to remake Aliens.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. Like,
no, I'm with you there. If they had just like come down on one side of that, I think it would have been.
Yeah, which I think with like give this to Topher Grace and have him edit it. You know, he have him edit this. He could chop about 25 off, and I think there's a really strong movie in this. It's just they didn't like quite.
I don't know. I mean, I'd have to see all the scenes like that. Yeah. It's still just interesting, like, again, for it being a creator versus creation thing, how Ridley Scott treated this whole thing. Why he was so like, oh, I don't want this to be a prequel to Alien. Oh, I absolutely want this to be a prequel to Alien. Like that's – I think the movie is hurt by that. I think if they had just, like, gone with it and rather than just, like, keep trying to tinker with that idea and gone through 8 different rewrites.
I think here's what – I think it works as both a prequel to Alien and not, because this plot can happen and have no effect on the first movie Alien.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, which is, I kind of like it. So it's like, this is a movie in the Alien verse, mm-hmm. where this is sort of how Xenomorphs can happen, but on a different planet, a slightly different form of facehugger gets into a slightly different engineer, that's where the Xenomorphs came from, blah, blah, blah. Done. So this movie doesn't need to be connected directly, but it's, you know, in the same universe, which is the way I was reading it. So it's like, I'm fine. There's another aspect to this where, and it'll never happen, but going into the kind of engineer world where the engineers aren't the creators, that they're
she even brings that up. Well, who created them?
No, but beyond that, I mean, like the engineers are more like David.
Oh, sure.
So like if we went to their planet, like you would see like engineers, but with long hair and like, you know, much like our stuff, but like they genetically made these, you know.
But it's all on their ships. They're watching Powder. And they're like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, as one does.
Yeah.
They
watch Powder.
Didn't you take anthropology? I think we covered all the pertinent stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Prometheus. No, thank you. All right. So that was Prometheus. And, we've been the last couple of weeks been doing some more sort of heady sci-fi stuff, both actually in the Ridley Scottiverse, but I think we need to get away from that and, but still answer, like maybe get into answering some tough questions. And we're going to do so by watching, No Holds Barred with Hulk Hogan.
Well, John, I don't think this is too weird of a jump because it's got a giant white guy and Zeus.
And Zeus.
So, I mean, I feel like we're dealing with very similar things. Black goo.
Uh-huh.
Dookie. I mean, I feel like
it's a prequel to The Fifth Element. This is how he got to be president.
Yes. I think it's a sequel to Fifth Element and a sequel to Prometheus. Never before has someone figured this out.
Yeah. And we're going to investigate that further when we struggle to talk about No Holds Barred.
Yeah. Starring the great Terry Bollea. Yeah. So that
Hogan. He's a real American. Fight for the rights of every man.
Every man, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good. He fights for what's right. Fight for your life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Guys only. But yeah, so leave a review yeah, about No Holds Barred.
Before we talk about No Holds Barred next week, make sure to leave a nice review on iTunes or wherever you listen to this.
Before we deliberately tank the show.
Yeah, exactly. So before this goes bad, can you just, while you still have whatever good graces are left, leave a nice review and share, rate, review, all that stuff.
And I'm going to try, just on a personal note, next week, by the time this comes out, I think it's that weekend, I'm going to be trying my first century bike ride where I ride 100 miles in one day, and that's probably going to kill me. So send me some positive vibes.
Yes, positive vibes to John.
Only. Heart reacts only.
Resquiat in pacem.
Yep.
All right. See you next time.
Bye, everybody. Bye.